Here's to a fabulous day wherever you are. Well, today we can hardly wait to welcome back our guest, Tom T. Moore, who is an award-winning author, speaker, and entertainment industry CEO who distributes motion pictures and TV programs internationally. Mr. Moore was voted best self-help author in 2014. With his Gentle Way book series that comes forth in four books. And now this most informative and brilliant author just ignited another shaker this August, his latest book, Atlantis and Lemuria, The Lost Continents Revealed, which is the most detailed book ever written about these two continents and the people who inhabited them. Paula, I can hardly wait to step into this goldmine packed full of information. You're now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show. I'm Taz.
And I'm Paula. Well, Taz, as I was zooming through Tom's magnificent book, it laid out the story of two continents, which existed more than 50,000 years ago, exposing not only their technology, but their cultural achievements also. Tom's latest book, Atlantis and Lemuria, is the painstaking result of years of channeling by Tom, who dwells into deep questioning with his guardian angel, Theo, and the Earth's soul, Gaia. This particular book was done in a question-and-answer format. Thrilling it is. And if you remember from the previous interviews, because we've had Tom on our show several times because we just love him so much, Tom is also known as teaching others how to request benevolent outcomes that can be used both in one's business affairs and personal life as well. Tom says that by requesting benevolent outcomes for over 14 years for himself and others, it has definitely led him into a gentler, less stressful, and less fearful life, the gentle way. Welcome back, Tom.
Great. I'm happy to be here, guys. I always enjoy being on your program.
Oh, well, did you enjoy putting your new book together?
Yeah, it was kind of lengthy. Started in 2008, you know, with a couple of simple questions, and you know, down the rabbit hole I went and discovered all sorts of things, and it just continued because you know, I have this weekly newsletter, and everybody kept asking me questions about Atlantis and Lemuria. And in fact, one of my readers in the UK sent me 500 questions. So you can imagine, I have a lot of questions to ask.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, you know what, some people, we're going to take it that our listeners haven't heard about Lemuria and Atlantis. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should say specifically where they're located or where they were located.
Okay.
And then go from there.
Sure. We'll start with Atlantis. In my book, I give the longitudes and latitudes of where each were located. But basically, if someone were to pull up a map of the Western Hemisphere, Atlantis started, the northern edge of it started at about 47 degrees latitude. Now, that would go on a line just about with the southern shore of Newfoundland, and it went across, and I was told it's in the shape of a parallelogram, so it went across and started curving on back down, and it got within 30 miles of what we call Africa today, but at that time it was called Oz, the land of Oz. Ooh. and then the western shore was paralleled North America about 100 miles out, and it went all the way down with sort of a little tail ending at just past the tip of Florida and encompassed what is today the Bahamas, there we go. I was trying to say Bahamian Islands. And so there you go. It was about 10% larger than present-day Australia. So that's where that was located. Then we move over to Lemuria, and Lemuria, before the oceans rose about 375 feet due to actions, some beyond anybody's control, and somebody and war, shall we say. It was actually connected to Japan in several spots, but when the oceans rose 160 feet, those connections were lost, and it extended on over to within about 100 miles of Hawaii, and its tail was sort of in the middle of the continent. So it was about 12% larger than Australia is today. So you get an idea of their sizes. They were fairly significant size continents.
You indicated that that Atlantis and Lemuria were seeded by extraterrestrials as part of an experiment to develop the human race.
Yes.
Can you kind of go from there? That's a big mouthful.
Yeah. Well, it seems... I was told that the creator of the universe, and of course there's for those who might not know, there's supposed to be billions of universes, but the creator of our universe sent what are always called emissaries to me. Now, emissaries would be they would take on the appearance of what the people that they were contacting looked like. And I say people because it could be any kind of being. And but it would be like a very ancient-looking being, you know, something very wise. And the emissaries went to these extraterrestrial races and said the Creator wants to have this experiment, the Earth experiment, where the Creator wants to try and see if negativity can be overcome, because in all the other billions of universes, no one had been able to work with negativity. Everybody kind of shuffled it under the rug, so to speak. And I was told that if the Creator asks you something, you can refuse, but no one does. And so the ETs I was told that they had the knowledge of how to create different kinds of beings, but not practical experience, okay? So they wound up trying all sorts of wild-looking things, and this started about 10 million years ago, Earth time, and so you, of course, the only earliest records we have of that are the Lucy and I think it's called the Littlefoot models of humans, the not too large a brain type humans, but they were humanoids and small brain capacities, and they worked up from there, but also with all sorts of hideous tries of things that we would call mutants today, and so they worked up, and they worked up to the point where there were Neanderthals, which I was told were actually cannibals, and there were probably at their peak maybe a little over 4 million of them. Didn't get too much higher because if somebody got a little old, they would just bop them in the head and have them for dinner. and they had about 80% of the brain capacity of the Adam and Eve model, as I call it in the book. And then along came the Cro-Magnons, and they were really close to the Adam and Eve models. The major difference that we could see are square eye sockets compared to round. And I started thinking about that since the book was published, and I thought, well, you know, if I was a designer and maybe if it was a square eye socket, maybe that would cause a real problem if somebody got hit in the head or, you know, by a fist or a club or whatever, and so they rounded them. Now, that's just a wild guess, you know, that I have. And also there were internal differences, but their intelligence was almost identical to the Adam Adam and Eve humans. So they were, you know, our equal from that standpoint.
Were there any circumstances that people found them, like, unearthed and archaeologically to be able to see if any of these humans were available for us to see?
Well, they just found one not too long ago.
Yeah, they found another new one. They found 15 bodies in a cave where they had been buried, and this was another model that they had not found before. I was told, besides the Neanderthals and the Cro-Magnons, there is one more race that had a large number, but it hasn't been discovered yet. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be in Asia.
Hmm. Well, some people thought they were ETs once they discovered, you know, down under the ground, and the scientists refused to acknowledge that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that was just one of the many, many trials and errors they had. In my book, I also mentioned there was a race of people, but only like maybe 1,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 or something like that. And I called them, the Rockwall people, because there is this large rock wall that's deep, pretty deep in the ground. In Rockwall, Texas, which my ancestors actually founded, and it's like very close to the Dallas Metroplex, and there's this rock wall, and I asked about it and was told that it was built by these people that were following the sea, and the seas were receding at that time period through Texas. And they lived in this area for a while, but the seas kept receding, and so they kept following the sea. But they had the rock wall to protect them from the storms. Obviously, probably they were having hurricanes back then, like we still do today.
Hmm. Were Atlantis and Lemuria on this planet at the same time?
Oh yes, the continents. When the Adam and Eve model were finally seated all over the world, they were both seated in Atlantis and Lemuria, but the ET group that seated Atlantis seated more of them in sort of different places, so their population grew a lot faster than the Lemurian population. It was just a fairly small, and it started from there and grew more slowly.
Now, you said that when they were seeding and experimenting, they took the best DNA from different worlds and put them together to create.
Yes. Supposedly, we have the DNA of like 200 planets, beings in our DNA. So they really tried to contribute to make the best, the most durable being they could
You would think we'd be better than we are now. Maybe we're just asleep.
Well, we're pretty durable, but when you think about all the wars and bloody messes we make and fighting each other, it's amazing. So
did they create a federation, the different worlds create a federation to create peace or to make sure that there wasn't any more war?
Well, kind of both. The Federation of Planets, as I said in my last book, which was First Contact Conversations with an ET, was formed after the real Star Wars, which happened about 1 million years ago, Earth time, and 100,000 years ago, Universal time. Since the Earth time, they've speeded up in order for us to catch up with all these other races eventually, and so they created this federation after the reptilians had attacked this quadrant of the galaxy, and they were fought back, and And so they finally came to a peaceful solution, and they're all happy-go-lucky, peaceful people. And the and one of the things of settling or coming to peace was that the reptilians got to contribute, I guess, their DNA and also souls from their planets, along with all the souls that volunteered from the Federation of planets too. I don't think the reptilians are members of the Federation. I think, but they're at peace with them. And well, anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead because I wasn't going to ask a question.
Oh, well, I was going to go off on a track that would have taken us away from
the book.
The book. So anyway, it would have been more on the last one. So you know, anybody can check out my First Contact Conversations with an ET book and get the whole story of the Federation and how they protect us and all that stuff.
Now Lemuria is I describe Lemuria so that people can understand it more.
Mhm.
And also do that with Atlantis so they can understand maybe what these two continents were about. And
Okay. Let's take Atlantis first because there was kind of more happening on Atlantis. Now, as anyone that has ever read the Edgar Cayce books,
yes,
can attest, there were he mentioned three destructions. Now, one of the three he mentioned, the first destruction, I was told he got that one not exactly right, shall we say. That was when Gaia shifted the poles to where they are now, and that caused several million people around the world to lose their lives because suddenly it would be frigid cold and they weren't prepared for it, so they froze to death. There were people that obviously I'm sure the oceans slopped around and you know, villages and towns and all along the coast were lost, and Atlantis lost some people, not an enormous amount. By then they had like over a million people living on the continent. So that was the first destruction, and the ETs at that time had not been given what was called the Earth Directive, which was to leave hands off, and the reason that came about is that, as an example, the ETs gave the Atlanteans crystal power, you know, because this was free energy, this was healing, it ran everything. They had aircraft, they had cars, and all the homes were lighted. Everything was free. It was kind of socialistic in that manner. And so they, you know, this was a great deal. Now, what happened eventually is that they developed laser ray guns using this crystal energy, and that was the bad deal. So it really caused an enormous problem and the destruction of what remained of Atlantis. Now you know, in their height though, they were able to use healing energies. They had these enormous crystals that they could dig up under the earth that were like 20 and 25 feet tall, and these crystals would be activated using a form of magnetics in some form or fashion we haven't rediscovered, and they would send out these beams, and they were limited by the curvature of the earth. so across their continent, and then as they went out and conquered the Mediterranean, they had to have these crystals that could power their aircraft and boats and cars and trucks and so on and so forth. So it was limited, so they never were able to have high speed, like their aircraft never went above, say, 400 miles an hour. Their cars and trucks never went above probably 50 or 60. So they no drag races. And so they used it to conquer the Mediterranean, but the only people they could never conquer were the people of Oz, because they if you recall the stories about the British trying to conquer, like the Zulu warriors, and the Zulu warriors would bring like thousands of warriors. Well, that happened to the Atlanteans. They would come over maybe with 1,000 guys with laser guns and everything, thinking and aircraft, thinking, oh well, we're going to conquer this continent. And the warriors discovered that the aircraft couldn't fly at night for whatever reason, and so they would wait till nightfall, and then thousands of them would come and just kill all the invaders.
Wow.
Boy, we haven't learned a thing since then, have we?
So c'est la vie on that. And they tried that over supposedly several hundred, maybe over 1,000 or 2,000 years, because I was told out of my 180-something lives I had on the continent of Atlantis, I died at least two times. Being sent over as a soldier and being sliced up by the warriors. So there you go.
Wow. So tell us something about Lemuria now.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, let's first get to the second destruction, because this caused changes in Lemuria too.
Sorry.
The second destruction. The first destruction was like 52,000 or so years ago. Then the second destruction happened at about 30,000 years ago. And there was this line of volcanoes that went through the spine of the Atlantean continent, because it sat right on top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And so there was all these super volcanoes that were in a line across the whole continent. Okay? And then, lo and behold, I'm sorry I'm getting interrupted here. Believe it or not, there's people outside with that are doing tree trimmings. I hope your audience can't hear that.
No, I can't hear it.
Oh, good.
No.
Okay, we're fine, because I keep thinking, oh, they're getting closer. So anyway, all of these super volcanoes blew up one day, and the whole continent almost sank, virtually all of it. There were only the Canary Islands, the Azores, a couple islands off the coast of Canada or Maine or whatever, and the Bahamas, and then there was one major island called Poseidia. And Poseidia, if you were to draw a line out straight out from about Boston, that's where Poseidia was located, but west of the middle of the Atlantic. And then 375 miles south of that, on a line straight out from Washington, D.C., was this island called Aran. And there were four little islands, one tiny island and three others just below it. And that was inhabited by the sons of Belial. And Poseidia was inhabited by the Law of One people, okay? And they didn't get along at all together. But when that continent sank, it caused this huge mud to lay on the ocean, mud and debris and everything. It took over 10 years for it to sink to the bottom of the ocean. So they had that. It was in, and there were reports that you can read in ancient writings about this, there being this mud wall that was impenetrable for the ships coming out from the Straits of Gibraltar. So they the seas rose 160 feet, and so we're talking about killing millions of people. Over 30 or 40 million people were killed all over the world by these tsunamis. So you can imagine, if you watch the Japan tsunami, the waters come in. They may go up 30 or 50 feet, but they all went back out. In this case, they all came in, and the seas rose 160 feet, completely wiping out, and everybody started from scratch that were at higher ground.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and at that time, of course, the seas rose 160 feet over by Lemuria, and that cut off their connection with Japan and just left them there with, eventually they had five countries, okay? And they were separated by rivers and mountains and the normal things that countries are separated by, like in Europe. And so they were an idyllic people. They got along fantastically well. It was like a utopia, if you want to call it that. They also had a different energy that we have not discovered yet. And so we're had this idyllic, peaceful existence till the last 1,000 years of their existence when they started the war. Okay, so now we've got one of the destructions out. There's two more to go. So, where do you want to go from here?
Well, I wanted to talk about the timelines, because
okay.
That's what the ETs worked with when they were experimenting. Didn't they work with the timelines? Could you explain what a timeline is and then go from there?
Okay. There are 12 timelines, and so each of us, and gosh, this could get into a pretty long conversation, so let me kind of summarize it by just saying that there were 12 timelines. We have 12 parallel lives going on at the same time, because our souls want to have the biggest bang for their buck for each one of the lives, and they wanted to see how each person would react being on a different frequency, from a higher frequency to a lower frequency, and so this timeline, which we're kind of concentrating on, the timing of the events is probably more what you're talking about. Isn't that true?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Sorry. When I get into timelines, I even have that explained in this book, because we get into discussion on timelines too.
Well, that was pretty awesome. Go ahead.
And so anyway, the timing of it was, the first destruction happened at 52,000 years ago. Then the second destruction, where the major part of Atlantis sank, was 30,000 years ago. Now we come up to a time period where it was 12,500 years ago. Things were getting worse and worse and worse. Now, this was 200 years before this final cataclysmic war between the Law of One and the Sons of Belial. 200 years before that, I had a life in which I was told, I was inspired to create the gentle way. And so I had about 1 million people that were using the gentle way, that were requesting benevolent outcomes in their lives, and they weren't getting all caught up in all this warring between the two factions. And so I was told in that life, I was sort of like a minister of some type. I don't know exactly, but I actually had a flock, okay? And so I was told that I needed to migrate, and so I left. Posadia. I was living in Posadia with 25,000 of my followers, and we traveled through Spain and France and all, and we journeyed to Egypt. And if anyone has read about Edgar Casey's Egypt and all, Edgar Casey had a past life there as Rata. And Rata had been banished from Egypt, and I can't remember what all the reasons were, but they brought him back to Egypt because there was this flood of Atlanteans that were settling there, and they were scared they were going to be conquered again. But it was my group, and so I talked to Rata and explained that we were peaceful people, and we just were wanting to get away from war and lead peaceful lives. And so the whole coast of Africa at that time was very verdant. It isn't like it's all sand now. It was very verdant. And so everybody had tons of space to have farms and live on the coast if they wanted to, and so on. So it was okay. A nice place to live for us. So that's how I first started learning about Atlantis, is that I was asking where was the origin of the gentle way, and was told it was in my life in Atlantis. So there we go. That's 200 years before the final war. Finally, the final war comes about. The sons of Belial said, we can't take this anymore. They were having ships sunk and aircraft shot down or whatever, and they were doing the same to the Poseidonians. And so we're going to wipe them off the face of the earth. So they did a Pearl Harbor type attack. They took off with 325 of these saucer-shaped aircraft with these ray guns, and they went to Poseidonia and proceeded to use these ray guns to melt the people, the cities, the land. Literally a million and a half people died the very first day of the of the war. And they thought, but the Poseidonians were smart enough that they turned off their crystals, and so the sons of Belial aircraft had to retreat back to Aran. And so then the Poseidonians had some secret airfields themselves, and so they took off, and they went to Aran and these other islands, and they started doing the same. And so slowly but surely, the islands started breaking up. Poseidonia, which was about the size of Cuba, but was round in shape, chunks of it started dropping off. The same thing happened with Aran, which was the size of Hispaniola Island. I'm not saying that correctly, but and the other smaller islands. And so they eventually all sank into the sea. And so the seas rose not overnight 41 feet, but in total 41 feet. And that's where the story of Noah came from, okay? It was 12,500 years ago. Noah was told by God or creator, whoever you wish to say, to build that ark. And instead of including wild animals, they embellished the story over thousands of years. He put all these domesticated animals in there and everything with his family. And when the sea started rising 5 and then 10 feet and then 20 feet and 25 and 30 feet and so on, it lifted the boat off, and off he went towards Mount Ararat. So That's where the story of Noah came from.
Pretty incredible.
And all the religions of the world have that, major religions of the world have that story, even including the Hindus, but the Hindus changed his name to make it sound more Indian. They loved the story too. Because they, of course, they were flooded. You know, the seas rose 41 feet for them too.
So how long did it take for the 41 feet to come up? Do you know?
Supposedly like less than a week or 10 days or so.
Okay.
So it was fairly fast, maybe at most 2 weeks. But you know, using these ray guns, it was just horrible. You know, people just melted away. It was very, very horrible. And so the seas rose all around the world, 41 feet, again, killing millions of people that lived on the coast. So, you know, each time these things happen, all the people that lived on the ocean, and you look at all around the world, you can look at any map today, and people lived near the ocean, and they died from it. So that happened. And then we go back to Lemuria. And Lemuria, there's one more big event coming, naturally. they couldn't live together, the five countries. And they had this energy, too, that they used to, power everything and so on, but they were able to create these gigantic, I'll call them hydrogen bombs, because it's my understanding that it was not exactly that energy, it was another energy, but it was still larger. I was told it was larger than any bomb that's ever been exploded in the world. And so they created these, and so 7,500 years ago, and this dates back to also me. I asked this innocent question one day. I said, "Hey, Theo, did I ever have a life on the Lemurian continent, which was also called Mu?" And he said, "Ah, Tom." He said, "You helped sink the continent." And I said, "Oh, great." And it seems that I was a religious leader, and I was in favor of bombing the other countries that we didn't get along with, and I encouraged them to bomb them. So we bombed two countries with two of these gigantic bombs, and thinking that they didn't have any way to retaliate, but they had the same kind of bombs, and they retaliated on us, and it resulted in the whole Lemurian continent sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And that took me, I was told it took me over 80 lives to balance that one out. It's like being part of a Hitler group or something, you know, that caused the destruction of millions, over 30 million people or so.
When you were going back on your newsletter, your channelings, and you were creating this book,
mm-hmm.
Was there any of the channelings that surprised you that you didn't remember that you wrote?
Oh, I guess they kind of surprise me all the time, because I typically, I don't go back to them. When I assemble a book, you know, where I've got questions and answers, I try and put them into chapters. Mm-hmm. And then if I find I've asked the same question two or three times, which obviously happened from 2008 to 2015. When I find I've asked something two or three times, I check to see if I was getting the same information all the time, and sometimes I don't. And so sometimes I have to ask the question again, and that just happens, or maybe I did get the answer, but I got part of the answer one time and part of the answer another, so I would just combine the answers in order to not be two separate questions.
Yeah. Tom, when you were in Atlantis, let me redo this. Okay, if what happened? Where did the people migrate? Where did the Atlanteans go anywhere? I mean, when they were able, maybe some were saved in some way. Where did they go? And the same with Lemuria. Were they able to reestablish themselves in other areas?
Sure. Both actually had people migrating away that did not want to be part of wars and everything. In the case of Atlantis, we weren't the only group that went to Egypt, although we were the largest group. There were, over the following 200 years before the final war, there was still a kind of a steady stream of people leaving that didn't want to be part of a war. And there were also people going toward down towards Central America, obviously the Yucatan. So there were people moving away from Posadia and Aran, and then there were a few people supposedly that actually survived for whatever reason. Maybe they were in a sailing ship, you know, that happened to be out, or somehow they, you know, they were able to survive the tsunamis and everything. So yes, there were survivors that were able to reestablish themselves between Oz, Egypt, Central America, and so on. So those people. Now, as far as the Lemurians go, the continent of Mu, there were people that, you know, were much more nice, may we say, and they certainly didn't want to be part of any war. Now, this, keep in mind, this is like 5,000 years later than the Atlantean War. So we're talking about 7,500 years ago, and as this got worse and worse, there was supposedly a fairly decent number of people that went to Japan, that went on into Asia, and Malaysia, and so on, migrating away. And also, something interesting I learned, I mentioned to you before, I think, that Hawaii was not too far away from the continent of Mu, only 100 miles. And of course, before the final raising of, you know, before the final destruction of the Mu continent by raising it another 160 or 200 feet, the people would vacation in Hawaii, but they would have different beaches or different parts of the island, which was larger at that time because you know, it was still 160 feet higher up, so to speak. And so I think that's why so many people feel a connection to Hawaii these days, is from their lives on Lemuria, where they actually vacationed on Hawaii just like we do today.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's like the people permeated the land with their energy, and that's why people, I think, feel an affinity, a great affinity for Hawaii now.
Yeah.
Were there any ETs living among in Atlantis or Lemuria?
They certainly visited them quite frequently until the Earth Directive came around, and then lo and behold, they just left all these people high and dry. They couldn't tell them, well, you know, in a couple thousand or years or so, you're all going to destroy yourselves. They couldn't tell them that, so they would just leave, and the people, you know, that they were working with, were just, you know, dumbfounded. Well, why did they leave? Why didn't they even say goodbye or what? You know, they didn't tell them anything. And so, but you know, the people were using the things that they gave them, and this happened both in, it appeared, Lemuria and Atlantis, for power and everything, and instead of using it for what the ETs wanted it to be used for, was, you know, to light homes and run factories or whatever. They took it too far.
I wonder if there's any remains left of Lemuria or Atlanta under the sea, and like any kind of structures, has anyone searched for structures?
Well, of course, I mentioned in my book that there it's called Yugami or something like that, Japan. You can Google underwater ruins Japan, and you'll see this pretty giant structure. I was told that this was some type of fortification, and it's down about 100 and I think they said 120 or 50 feet or something like that. And there was these giant stone structure that was some type of fortification. So you can see that by simply diving, and they have photos of it that you can see on, you know, by Googling underwater ruins Japan. And then
go ahead. I was going to say, if I remember correctly, I think they found something over by the Azores Islands also.
Yeah, well, of course, there are a couple of things. Number one was on the coast of Spain, there's this marshy area, and they thought that might be the Posadia, okay? But I was told, if you can imagine, let's just say people like to make replications of Washington, D.C. You know, they want to have, for the capital of their state, they want to have the building looking like the building Washington, D.C. I can cite Little Rock, Arkansas as being one of those, as near as I remember. And so I was told that that was simply someone trying to make that city look like the golden city of Posadia. And so that was just a smaller replica of it. Of course, you've got the Bimini Road, which which still exists, and you can see it underwater in Bimini Island in the Bahamas, because the Bahamas, as I say, they completely were washed away, but they came back, but they were too far away for these people to reach with the kind of energy they were using, the crystal energy and all. So that's why they had all the problems were limited to between Posadia and the Aran Island, which was straight off of Washington, D.C. And I thought that was interesting that the bad guys at that time period were the sons of Belial and they're on a line with Washington, D.C. So there's something there, I think, somewhere. And Bermuda, as I recall, is a remnant of Atlantis. But I was told you'd really have to dig down deep, because if you look at anywhere in the world, tons of dirt has landed and covered up all these surfaces in the world. A good example would be, like, I went to Bath, England, and there's a Roman bath there that dates back 2,000 years, and it's below ground. But originally, it was above ground. You know, it's a whole story below ground. And so that's how much the land has covered. And even, at Stonehenge, they just discovered all of these stones that's completely buried under the ground. Probably done purposely, but still, It took them all this time to finally find these stones because they were all underground. So there's so much we haven't found that's underground if we start digging.
You know, Tom, people are becoming so more spiritual throughout the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's really magnificent to see this taking place. And I kind of wonder if, you know, places like Lemuria and Atlantis, people, you know, have come back and they're just trying to rewrite and make things better for the whole entire planet. I wonder what you think about that, because of these energies and people really have this, their heart is showing more and more, and our Earth is changing. Have you asked any questions along these lines recently to Theo or Gaia?
Well, even in my book, I mentioned the fact that, you know, I kind of ask, why hasn't all this information come out before? And I was told that it's time for it, and I was told, you will never destroy yourselves again, okay? And I think they wanted to hide that from us, that information, because we would be so fearful of trying to progress and find electricity and learn, you know, how to fly planes and on and on and on and on, all these progressions, because people would be so afraid that we would, you know, do the same thing again, that it would cause people to... It'd be almost like a witch hunt. Oh, you're doing this? Oh, my God. Oh, no, you can't do this kind of thing. And so they sort of hid the information so that only, you know, Plato was able to come out with it, and then Edgar Cayce. So it's time for the information, because we're not going to destroy ourselves, and we need to be keeping looking up towards the stars.
Yeah.
I have one real quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
The Bermuda Triangle, did that have anything to do with Atlantis?
There are one or two of these large crystals supposedly under the water there that they were not able to save before the calamity. And so that could be the cause of it. That's possible. One of the interesting sidelights is that the Atlanteans also mine for crystals near Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Ah.
Oh.
So, and supposedly some of the locals there have found these mines, but they're not talking. They don't want to be inundated by people running around.
I don't blame them.
So there's lots of crystals, and the Atlanteans had a way. They had instruments that could detect large crystals, because we're talking about, you know, needing crystals. A number of them were 20, 25 feet tall that would send out this beam of energy when they were activated that would power everything, you know, kitchens and whatever.
Well, we need to take a little time out.
Yeah.
What?
Well, let's tell people how to get your book. And
Okay.
It's Atlantis. Go ahead.
Yeah, Atlantis and Lemuria, The Lost Continents Revealed, is available on in about every ebook company you could think of. You know, the Amazons, you name any site for the printed book, you can get them there. Wish it was out in the retail stores, but it hasn't made it yet. Maybe if enough people ask why, they'll start carrying it. And I think it'll give everyone a different perspective of these things, because I do give timelines, and I do show how, you know, each of these these destructions happened, and it's as I say, it's the most detailed book I've ever seen on the subject.
David Wilcock talks about the Law of One, and are we going to be going back to that aspect of things?
I don't know about going back. All the religions that are around today are still going to be around for many, many years, I've been told. Supposedly, you know, when the ETs show up and give us more of our real history, the religions are going to adjust and change, because they got a lot of it wrong.
Yeah, well, maybe bringing in our heart energy and
yep.
that kind of thing. Tom, you know what? We really have to go, and
yep.
it has been so priceless having you with us this time,
just before we leave, let Tom say how people can get his newsletter.
Oh, yeah. Happy to. You can email me at TomTMoore6@AOL.com to receive my newsletter. And you can also see the same email address on the front page of the homepage of my website, which is at www.thegentlewaybook.com. And you can also click on articles and news and read all my archived newsletters all the way back to 2007.
Oh, great. Well, we really thank you for being with us again.
Sure thing. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed being with you, too. Have a great day, everyone. A most benevolent day.
Thank you. You, too. Thank you.
You,
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up. When the DNA doesn't match, it's not just the degree, it's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.